Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, the New Testament, if you want to. We're going to be at the back. We've been working our way through the Gospel of Matthew. And so we made it through chapter 7. We made it through chapter 7, and then we jumped to more towards the end of Matthew. So we kind of did Palm Sunday last week, did the events surrounding Palm Sunday and the Last Supper. And then today we're going to look at just the last part of the burial of Christ and the resurrection. So, all right. So Matthew chapter 27 is where we're going to begin. Verse 57 is where we want to pick things up here this morning. Good to have you at Radiant Springs Church. We've got an exciting message this morning. I've entitled it, All Authority. And the message points are in the back of your program there, and they'll be the points will come up on the screen when it's time. And they will appear out of nowhere, and you can write them in, all right? So, let's look to the Lord in prayer today. Father, we just thank you for your word. It is the living word of God because it is in written form for us, whether it's electronic or on words of a page. But Lord God, it is your living word as your spirit takes it and applies it to our heart. It speaks to us today. It shows us how to live. It shows us how to live in victory. It shows us how to live in peace. It shows us how to know you. And so, Lord God, we pray that it would be at work in our hearts and our lives today. Let it accomplish its purpose. We give you the thanks. We give it you the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. 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 Thanks, Clarence. All right. We're going to begin in verse 57 of chapter 27. This is just going to give us a little bit of background. It says, as the evening approached, so this would be what we would call Good Friday. And the reason why Easter, anybody wonder why Easter is always bouncing all over the map, you know, as far as the calendar? It's because it's on the Jewish calendar of when Passover was. And so it's different every year based upon, we know with certainty as to when it was. Christmas, no, but Easter we do. Okay, so as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea. His name was Joseph. So him and Nicodemus would be two Jewish leaders that were unlike many of the majority. They believed what Jesus had to say. They sought Jesus out, and in his death, they would seek to make sure that he has a proper burial. And so Joseph of Arimathea would even provide the grave that Jesus would be buried in. So verse 58, go into Pilate. They asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen, and placed it in a new tomb. So that is fulfillment of a prophecy found in Isaiah 53:9. If you want to make a note there and look that up later. But that was actually a fulfillment of a prophecy written several hundred years before. And that he cut out of a rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite of the tomb. The next day, on the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while that deceiver was still alive, he said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give an order for the tomb to be made secure on the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal his body and tell the people he's been raised from the dead. You know, it's interesting that these religious leaders actually had more faith and they maybe even listened to more closely to what Jesus had to say than the disciples did. Really? You know, you catching that? This will be the last deception. This last deception will be worse than the first. Verse 65, take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb secure as you know how. So they, as Gary mentioned this morning at sunrise service, they had ways of putting a seal so they could tell if it had been disturbed, all right, or anybody had touched it. Verse 66, so they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. All right. So that gives us a little bit of background leading up to that. And then I want to jump into verses 1 through 7 because we're going to see how the resurrection, that his power, that Jesus has all authority, that's the title of the message, how that impacts our lives. So verses 1 through 7, it says, then on the Sabbath, so it's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it was called the 3 days, after the Sabbath, which would have been Saturday, at dawn, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Isn't that kind of cool? You know? A stone that probably, the way they put it in there, probably would have taken, you know, a good amount of men to roll that stone back. But one angel hops down from heaven and rolls it back and sits on it and is kind of like, okay, what else I have to do for today, right? All right. His appearance was like lightning, so just that brilliant white. His clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They just kind of passed out, right? Then the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly, tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now that I have told you, go. The first thing that we see here is that in these first 7 verses is that death is replaced by life. Because Jesus has all authority, death has been replaced with life. All right? And by conquering death, Jesus proved that he had not only power over the wind and the sea, remember that miracle, or over the sick, but he also had power over death and over sin. And so when he was placed in the tomb, he was resurrected, showing that God had authority and power over even life itself. It confirmed the scripture and gives you and I power that one day God is going to resurrect us. You know, you could put your faith in a doctrine that says there's going to be a resurrection, but if the leader of that teaching or religion wasn't resurrected themselves, what hope would that give you that one day you will be resurrected, right? But Jesus was the first fruits. He was resurrected first, and he rose victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And he extends that life to us as well. And so Jesus instructs them to go and tell the disciples. So we'll get into a little more of that. But death is replaced by life. So how does that impact our life today? Chris, would you come at this time? Each point I'm going to have somebody just share briefly. Some of you know Christopher Mall, and he started attending about a month ago. When I met him the first time at Burger King, why don't we have you turn so everybody can see you. His left eye would barely stand open, and he maybe was high that day. I'm not sure. He probably was. I met with him at Burger King, and we talked about Jesus, we talked about life, and we had a nice meeting, and then why don't you tell us what was going to happen after that day?
Well, I just was at the lowest point in my life, and just wanted to give up completely. My plan was to commit suicide, but before I did that, I cried out to God one more time, and I'm like, if you're out there, if you have any love or purpose for me, let this meeting go different than any other meeting I did that I've had with anybody else. Because every other pastor, I was told I was too far gone. I know enough about the Bible to be dangerous, and just pretty much too far gone. And I asked him every question I could think of, just figuring I'm going to be told I'm going to burn in hellfire. And I mean, I was looking at Pastor Brent. But for the first time, I seen Jesus, not physically, but I seen the love and the grace. And I told him every horrible thing about my past and figuring that's going to scare him away. Because I was looking for a reason to die, but my soul was crying out for a reason to live. And I seen that. And since then, I mean, I could walk my daughter from my house to the school. By the time I'd get there, I'd be soaked in blood because I had Crohn's. I wouldn't be able to eat because my stomach would swell. Heard voices, just every psychotic medication you could think of, I was on. I don't take no medications, I'm drug free. I don't bleed, I'm not in pain constantly. And I wake up thanking God every morning for the life that He's given me that day.
Amen. Yeah, just kidding. That's one way that we see in a very practical way that death has been replaced by life. And, you know, pray for Chris. We're going to do that right now. Each day is a battle for all of us, but for him too. He's made some incredible strides. You look at him, his eyes are clear now. There's just incredible, I've just noticed an incredible difference in his life. But let's just pray. Would you just extend a hand to Chris this morning? And we just want to pray. Lord, we just pray that you just have your hand upon Chris and his daughter, Caitlin, Lord God. Lord God, I just pray for your favor and your covering over his life, Lord God, as he makes steps forward. Lord God, I pray that you would extend your grace and your mercy and your strength and power. Let your resurrection power be evident in his life. May you be glorified. May you be lifted up, Lord God. Father, may you be exalted, Lord God, through his testimony and through just your mighty working power in his life. We give you the thanks and the praise in your name we ask. Amen. Amen. You know, and he's telling me dreams that he has of things he wants to do. It's just incredible. One minute he's wanting to take his life. Now he has a plan and a purpose and some things, some dreams, big dreams that God's put in his heart. I said, just take one day at a time. Put it before God. Let him open up those doors. Amen? Amen. Let's go on to point two. Because of Jesus' resurrection, power, and authority, death is replaced with life. But secondly, we see in verses 8 through 10, it says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. They ran to the disciples, and suddenly he met them. Jesus did. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell the brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. You know, these ladies had a lot of emotions going along, right? They're afraid, but they're excited because now they've seen Christ, you know, and then they saw the angel. You know, these angels, man, they, you know, it's just kind of like the first line they have to say is like, you know, it's like they have to read them the people's rights, you know, say, hey, do not be afraid, okay? You know, that they had to do that to Mary. They had to do that with Joseph. That's kind of a line they have to do. Hey, don't be afraid. It's not going to be okay. The only time you have to be afraid is if you see an angel and they don't say that, all right? That might mean you're in trouble. But Jesus says, do not be afraid, but go. But they were probably afraid of seeing the angels, but the environment, but also you think about the fear that they had. That in the wake of their Lord and their Savior being crucified on a cross in a very violent, in a very vicious way, a very public way, now they were having to live with that fear day in and day out, right? Because if they crucified our Master and our Savior, what will they do to us? So there was that fear factor of the fear of mankind, the fear of humans, right? But yet there was that joy that Christ was alive, that he was risen. We may not be put in that same predicament, but I can guarantee you that most of us deal with fear at some level. Some of us more than others, we call it anxiety, but it's fear, right? It is fear. And some of us, if you look at the medications that are prescribed just for anxiety across our nation, it would probably be just mind-boggling. We are riveted with fear. And if you read the news and believe all that is in the news, it's easy to live in fear, isn't it? At times our world is a scary place. They were afraid, but they left with joy. The cool thing is that Jesus has the power and authority to replace our fear with his peace. And that's the second point, is that because Jesus has all authority, fear is replaced with peace. 1 John 4:18 says, his perfect love drives out all fear. Amen? Psalms 91, one of my favorite psalms, says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. If you stay close to Almighty God, you don't have anything to be afraid of because He's bigger than anything out there, and you just stay close to Him. Everything else is going to flee, right? Because you're close to Him. He drives out all fear. Mary Beth, would you come? When you're close to Jesus, there's nothing to fear. We've been walking this journey with Mary Beth for quite a few years. She started coming to the church shortly after we launched, and then she moved away for a while. But once you know it, she came back. But one of the things, she's had a lot of things to work through, health issues with her daughters, her twins, and things. What did that cause you to feel within your heart?
Lots and lots of fear.
A lot of fear. Yeah. And you know, Mary Beth, she's very calm, you know, she doesn't get very excited. But, you know, she would come to us, and you could tell she, just with fear, it was more than she could handle, right?
Yes, dealing with issues with my daughter, Emily, and her heart, and the twins, and Sierra with her asthma, and now my parents, and it's just, sometimes it's overwhelming, and I never knew how to deal with it, and then I just gave it to God, and especially this last time when my mom had surgery, and she wasn't supposed to make it, and I felt this peace in me, knowing that everything's going to be okay. My mom lived through the surgery when the doctor said she's not going to live. And my dad's had some health issues, and we've been dealing with that. But my anxiety is a lot better, and now I'm on Plexus, and that's even better. But, yeah, I'm doing good.
Amen. You know, and the thing that I've really seen happen and transform in Mary Beth's life is just that there was that hysteria when things would happen with a health issue, whatever the case may be. I mean, whenever we have health news about ourselves or family members, it's still going to strike a chord within our heart, right? We're going to feel it. We're going to be concerned about it. But there is a greater peace in her life now. She is not as hysterical as she once was about those things. She's still hysterical about other things. But there is a faith, there's a strength there that wasn't there before. And so it's just been neat to see that transformation within her life as she's learned to walk with God and walk in faith. Amen? That is one way that God's resurrection power, when we grab a hold of that power that is available to us and we live in it, then we don't live in fear, but we live in God's peace. Amen? Amen. We're just going to pray for you. All right? Lord, we just thank you for Mary Beth. We just thank you for her family, Lord God. We thank you for all that you've carried her through, her and her family, and Otto, Lord God. We just thank you for that, Lord God. And Lord, I just thank you for the faith you've been building in her heart, Lord God. Each step, Lord God, you call us to trust you more and to believe you more, Lord. And I just thank you for the peace you're granting her. We just pray for favor over her family, over her daughters. Lord God, just bless them in a wonderful way. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Because Jesus has all authority, death has been replaced with life. Doubt, we haven't gotten to that one yet. Fear is replaced with peace. Let's go to verses 11 through 20. While the women were on their way, they're going back, right, to Jerusalem, some of the guards went into the city, reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with them, the elders, and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and took him away while they were there." Okay? So they fought off the Roman soldiers. Think about this, okay? They fought off the Roman soldiers, somehow took the tomb, rolled the stone away. Uh-huh. Okay. Verse 14, "This report, if the governor finds out about it, will satisfy him, keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and as this story had been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. What would happen to a Roman soldier if he did not do his duty? Oh, yeah, as immediately they were executed. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." You can underline that. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The stone that was in front of the tomb, why was that removed? Oh, it wasn't so that Jesus could get out? No, he wasn't even there. The stone was rolled away so people could what? Go in and see that he had been risen, that he was gone. To show that Jesus was there, he was resurrected. Now the resurrection, if you really go back and research it, it is one of the most well-documented events in history. Far more evidence than if Julius Caesar, right, that was executed, murdered, right? There's far more evidence. We believe that as fact and truth, but there's really not a lot of, not near the evidence of that compared to how Jesus was crucified and his resurrection. It's just well documented. You know, but even in the midst of all that, Thomas says, I won't believe unless I what? Put my fingertips, my fingers in the wounds of your hand, right in your feet. Now, I think he would feel pretty sheepish about that when Jesus would walk into the room the one day and they were having fellowship and Jesus walks through the wall and there he is and it's kind of like, he sees Jesus and it's kind of like, okay, why did I doubt, you know? But doubt, I think, is something that even the disciples, it says right here that some of them doubted, right? They doubted. If the disciples doubted, do you think that we may also have doubt in our hearts at times? Yes, I think there is that chance that it will happen. I think a very good chance. Having doubts about the resurrection or whether God is real or whether God will come through in a difficult hour is not uncommon. And what I've learned is that God is not afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of the things that we are thinking in our mind. We just have to come before him and give those doubts, those fears to him, those questions. I think all the great people in Scripture had doubts at some level, and they needed God to help them through that. I believe the key, you may write this down, the key is not to let your doubts discourage you, rather, drill down and discover the resurrected Christ for yourself. The key is to not let doubts discourage you. Rather, drill down and discover the resurrected Christ and his truth for yourself. So Tessa, would you come? And I still remember the day that Tessa came to Radiant Springs the first time. And we were having communion that Sunday. And she had heard about Christ and things like that. But had never placed her faith in Christ. And she said you talked about a personal relationship. So she came over to our house that afternoon and talked about her personal relationship with Christ. She goes, what is that? What do you mean by all that? And so we talked about that. I remember her praying a prayer, asking Christ into her life. But I know you've had to work through some doubts in your life.
Basically, for about 20 years now, I guess my whole life I've lived with alcoholism. And from as long as I knew it wasn't normal, I've desired to be free of alcoholism and alcohol. I abhor it. It is my heart's desire to be rid of it. But the first time that I ever heard, you know, you hear truths spoke to your heart. And the first time I ever heard that spoken to me was when my mother-in-law, who died in October, she scooped me up and she took me to an Al-Anon meeting. And I learned the first two steps. I basically got to the first two steps. The first step is you admit you're powerless over alcohol and that your life had become unmanageable. And the second step is that you believe in a power greater than yourself that can restore you to sanity. And that, this truth that was spoken to my heart is that I deserve to have hope. And so that led me to a search for God that took me to graduate school, of all things. I got a PhD. But when I came to church here, the next truth that was spoken to me, I came up to Pastor Brent and I asked him, what's the deal? Because I was raised Catholic, I've done this stuff, but what's different here? And he told me that Jesus is alive. And that was a truth that really spoke to my heart again. And so I'm still not to that point. But when I look back, I mean, I was actually looking back at the 12 steps. I've actually gone through them. Really, it's all about spiritual connection. And I see God has been doing that now for 20 years. And so I don't fall down into the helplessness and the despair that I've been in for a long time. But I can look back and I can see where God's hand has been in my life for so long. And I know that he will continue to be there. So.
Amen. Amen. Tessa, we're just going to pray for you. Lord, I just we just thank you for Tessa, Lord. We thank you for the journey of faith that you're leading her on, Lord God. And we even just pray right now, Lord God, I know you've placed some promises within her heart, Lord God. And you know what those are, those prayers, Lord God. And sometimes those prayers don't always come to fruition as quickly as we would like, Lord God. But Father, you know them. And Father, we bring them before you. And we just agree in the name of Jesus this morning, Lord God. And we ask it by faith. And we give you the praise and the glory in your name we ask. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Amen. You know, God is faithful. Amen. His resurrection power is there to meet us where we're at. To change, to transform us, to give us hope, to give us a future. Because Jesus has all authority, death is replaced by life. Fear is replaced with peace, and doubt is replaced with hope. Amen? And then because Jesus has all authority, he says, now I want you to take that message. Take that message, that hope, that peace, that life that he's placed within us. He goes, I want you to go and do what? Make disciples of all nations. Share the message. Share what I have done in your heart and in your life. And I think sometimes we make a mistake that we think that in order to be a witness, in order to share Christ, you have to go through a bunch of classes, maybe even have to get a degree, you have to go to Bible college maybe before you can share Christ. But you know what? As I go through the Gospels, I look at the demon demoniac. One day he is demon possessed and nobody wants to even go near the cave that he lived in because he tormented others and he was a mess. But he met Jesus and he was totally delivered, set free. And Jesus, he wanted to go with Jesus on, he goes, I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, I want you to stay here and I want you to tell people of what you have done, what has happened in your life, and the change that has transformed you. And you go throughout Scripture and you'll realize that as Jesus healed and he did miracles for people, he'd say, don't tell anybody what happened. What'd they go and do? They went and told people what had happened. Maybe that's what we need to do, say, don't go out and evangelize, okay? Don't do it. But people did it because they took the message of what Christ had done in their life and they told others. That's what sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, all authority has been given. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them to obey all things. Amen. I want to just lead us in a prayer. Would you stand this morning? And have those that help out with prayer, Jay and Victor and Yolanda, if you'd come. And if you need prayer this morning. But I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation, but I'm also going to just lead us in a prayer that the message, if you want prayer this morning, whether it's just to solidify your relationship with Christ, you don't know today if, you know, if God would say, hey, your time's up. You punched your time clock and it's time, God's taking you home. Would you go to heaven or you don't know? I know there's a lot of good people out there. That's not my question. My question is, do you know for certain that you are saved, that you're going to heaven? And God has promised that we can have that assurance, that we can know. If you don't have that assurance, I encourage you to make your way forward and pray. As we pray, come forward and pray with one of our altar workers here. We just want to help you in that. We can know for certain that that we have the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life with Christ. It's by faith. We receive it by faith. And then we allow God to work in our heart and life. But I also just want to pray for us just as we walk with God. And as we encounter fear, as we encounter death in our life, as we encounter just the struggles along the way, anxiety and doubts, Lord God, that you're with us each step of the way. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. I'm just going to lead us in a prayer of salvation, first of all, and saying, Dear God, come into my heart, into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, here today, I ask that you be the Lord of my life. And I thank you for the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And Father, for all of us here today, Father, I pray that as we read in the book of Ephesians, that we can walk in the authority and the power that is ours in Christ Jesus. Lord God, I pray you'd take us on a journey to know the truth of your word. Lord God, that we can know the arsenal that is available to us. Because Satan will come. He will come and he'll tempt us. He'll come and he'll try to discourage us. He'll come and try to beat us down, Lord God. But you have given us a great arsenal that we can stand our ground, that we can fight the battle, Lord God, that we can live a victorious Christian life. Because the resurrection power of Christ is living within us, Lord God. And Father, I pray that we can know the power that is available to us. Lord God, you would open our eyes by your Spirit to see the power that is available to us so that we can walk in victory, not in fear, that we can walk in strength, not in weakness, that we can walk in life and not death, Lord God. Father, we just give you the thanks. We give you the praise, dear God, this morning. We ask it in your precious and wonderful name. We're going to close with a chorus this morning, and you can keep coming forward for prayer if you need prayer this morning. But we're going to close with a chorus. It just talks about what Jesus did on the cross and how it impacts our life. Amen. Lord, this morning you've called us out of darkness into your glorious name. At some point, all of us were in a grave of our own sin, maybe our own failings, Lord God. But Lord, you don't want to leave us there. You've called us from death to life. You've called us from fear to your peace. You've called us from doubt, Lord God, to know your truth and to have hope in you, Lord God. And Father, that's why you went to the cross, so that we could live in victory and we could overcome. And Lord God, I pray that as we go through this week and through this remainder of this Easter Sunday, that we may sense your resurrection power in us and working through us. And Lord God, even in our weakest moments, Lord God, I pray that as we cry out to you, Lord God, we can know your strength, we can know your power. You are near to us, Lord God, and you hear our prayers. And so, Lord God, I pray you go with us, bless our families, bless our gatherings today. Go with us this week. Let us be a testimony of your grace and your mercy. May we hear your words to go, and as we go, Lord God, to make disciples, to share the hope that we have within us, Lord God, that they may come to know and put their trust in you. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Greet each other as you leave this morning. Good to have you at Radiant Springs Church. God bless you. Hope to see you next Sunday, Wednesday night.